Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. It's good to be here. We always look forward to the opportunities that we have to come and to be with you. I believe the last time was about 3 years ago when we were actually here at a time where we weren't just passing through for a day or two. But we greatly appreciate every opportunity that we have to be with you. Thoroughly enjoyed the lectureship yesterday. There were a number of very good lessons that were given. I know I benefited a great deal from them, and I hope that for those of you who were able to be here, that you did as well. I hope if you weren't able to be here, that you will take the time to get the CDs or maybe the videos. I don't know exactly to what degree they are. They recorded those and made those available. But get your hands on them and take some time to study them. There were some very good studies yesterday, and I'd encourage you to avail yourself of those. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to the 46th Psalm. Psalm 46 is where we will be taking the text for our lesson this morning. Refuge. The word means a place of sanctuary, a place of safety. It was defined in one case as a strong fortress into which one may flee. It is a place to which one will go in times of trouble and in times of trial. It is a place where when the enemies attack and when the place where you would normally remain, the place where you would normally stay is no longer safe, it is no longer secure, you find that place of refuge. It is that time where when the storms come and when the threatenings approach, it is that place where you go for safety. Refuge. The theme of Psalm 46 is God is our refuge. As members of the body of Christ, as New Testament Christians, and we recognize this is an Old Testament passage, and so with its applications, it is intended for the children of Israel, but the application of Psalm 46 to the life of the Christian is the same for us today as it was for them in that time. As this psalm was written by the sons of Korah, the chief musicians of David's house, it was written and it was given to show to whom we can go when troubles come in our lives. Where is our place of sanctuary? Where is our place of safety? Where is our shelter in the time of storm? I'd like us this morning, for the next few minutes, to examine this particular psalm. To see what it is that the psalmist says concerning God and our refuge. The psalm itself breaks itself into three different sections, and we're going to examine it with each of these sections individually this morning. But let us begin our study by taking the time to read the short 11 verses of this psalm. Psalm reads, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall be glad, or shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. As we break down this particular psalm this morning, let's look at it from each of the three different sections. As you examine verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 46, you find that God's refuge provides confidence. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It is not just a situation where you have to go and to find where God is going to be when trouble comes. When His people are in trouble, when trials arise, He is always very present. He is always right there. He is always available. We don't ever have to wonder whether or not God is going to be there for us when we are struggling, when we are hurting, when we are facing a crisis in our lives. No, you see, we can have confidence in God. We can have confidence in the fact that no matter how bad things get, no matter how frustrating things are, how tough things look, we always have God there with us. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Because of that, we can have confidence in His presence and in the safety that He provides. And so you have the statement being made in verses 2 and 3. He says, therefore we will not fear. We won't be afraid when problems come. We won't be afraid when trials arise, because we know we have a place of safety. We have a place to which we can go to get out of those storms, to get away from those trials, to overcome those temptations, and to come out better on the other side. God is the refuge for His people. He is the place of safety to which they can go in times of trouble. You turn over a few pages in the Psalms to Psalm 62. And there in Psalm 62, the psalmist would write, beginning in verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. We can have confidence in God. We can have confidence in the safety that God provides. Because of this, His people are not to be ones that are fearful, but rather instead to be confident. Paul would write to the preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as he is writing this particular epistle from a Roman prison, on the cusp of being put to death for the cause of Christ, at a time where members of the body of Christ were being rounded up and being thrown in prison and being put to death, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he says, beginning in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee for the putting on of my hand, or by the putting on of my hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Paul writes to Timothy in a time where it would have been very easy for Timothy to go and to find a hole to crawl in until things blew over, where it would have been easy for Timothy to have just let everything go, stop proclaiming the gospel, stop making waves, stop causing problems that were going to gain him attention and that could cost him his life. Paul says, I write to you to put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. Don't you neglect the things that you've been given. Don't you neglect the gifts that you have. Recognizing here he's talking about spiritual gifts. Don't you be one who's willing to set those aside and put those away just because they're not popular right now. Just because they could get you in trouble right now. Why? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear. The book of 2 Timothy, we just went through and did a study of this particular book on Sunday mornings through the month of February. When you understand the setting of the book of 2 Timothy, and when you understand what it is that he's writing in what may very well have been the last letter that Paul wrote, it's certainly the last one that we have record of in the Scriptures. On the cusp of death, he writes to Timothy and he says, "You don't be afraid." Why? Because I have a refuge. You turn over to the end of the book in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And there Paul will say, "I have fought the good fight," verse 7. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." You see, Timothy, I don't care. I'm not afraid of what's going to happen to me or what they're going to do to me, because I have a refuge. I have a place of safety in God. And in that refuge, it doesn't matter what they do to my body, they can't touch my soul. We've not been given the spirit of fear, Paul tells Timothy, but of power, of love, and of discipline, or a sound mind, as the King James Version says. Therefore, we have the responsibility to hold on to God, to look to Him for comfort and for safety, but to continue to do what God would have us to do. You know, as you examine certain examples in Scripture, you see sometimes individuals that instead of looking to God as their refuge, instead of running to God, they run from God. You think back to Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, where faced with that temptation and faced with the wiles of Satan, Adam and Eve will be ones who will eat of the tree. And then what happens? God comes calling in the cool of the day, and they run off and hide. Instead of seeking refuge with God in time of temptation, they wind up running from God because they've committed sin. Think back to the prophet Jonah, and how that when Jonah is told to go to the city of Nineveh and to proclaim the gospel, recognizing that Nineveh and the Assyrians are the enemies of the children of Israel, would have been a dangerous thing for him to do from the standpoint of the travel and the place to which he was going. And yet Jonah seeks refuge from God, running on that ship to Tarshish so that he can maybe get away from God instead of running to God. And recognizing that in Him is the only place where safety can be found. No matter what comes against us in life, we can and we must place our trust, place our confidence in God. You know, Isaiah would write in Isaiah chapter 40, as the prophet is speaking for God on this occasion, he says in verse number 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those who put their trust and their confidence in God going to be the ones who have the strength to continue on. They have the will to survive. They have the desire to do what is right no matter what the situation. Because they have refuge and comfort. Drop back once again to Psalm 46. Therefore, we will not fear. It doesn't matter what happens around us. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says at the end of verses 2 and 3, it says, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though this, if this earth falls apart, and everything that we know and everything that we see and everything that we hold dear on this earth crumbles around us, it doesn't matter. God is still there. God is still with us. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled and the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, it doesn't matter. God is still there. God is still our place of safety and refuge. God's refuge gives us confidence. It allows us to put our trust and our faith in Him no matter what the situation may be. No matter how dire or how desperate the circumstances may appear, we can put our trust and our faith in God and have a place of safety. Secondly, beginning in verse 4 and going down through verse 7, not only do we see that God's refuge provides confidence, but God's refuge provides protection. Beginning in verse 4, we read, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. There is a river, streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This idea of a river that runs through the city of God before the tabernacles of the Most High, before the place of safety, is the fact that this river is the lifeblood of any city. You go back and you look at the cities of the ancient world and the way that they were set up and the way that they were established. Their ability to survive in times of trouble had everything to do with their ability to retain food and water within the city. If there was someone who came up against the city, surrounded the city, cut them off from everyone else, their ability to survive was whether or not they had access to those necessities of life. What is he saying in verses 4 and 5? God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. The river of life is always found in the safety of God. God's refuge provides protection. God's refuge never becomes unsafe. It doesn't matter how vast the number of the enemies that surround us. It doesn't matter how overwhelming their strength may appear to be in physical terms. God's refuge will never fail to protect. Oh yes, there's always going to be the aspect of the physical and the spiritual. You know, God is not going to keep all harm from coming to us at any point in our lives. These physical shells that we bear are but for a moment. And they are not, in the ultimate scheme of things, that with which God or us should be the most concerned. But He provides protection. He provides protection for the soul, and He does provide help in times of trouble. God can cause the nations, verses 6 and 7, to melt away because they cannot stand against Him. Verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us.
How many times as we examine the Scriptures do we see it take place where Israel cries out to God in times of trouble, where the enemies are on the doorstep and they seem to be on the verge of winning and they cry out to God and God stretches out His voice, He stretches out His hand and He saves the people of Israel. How is it that so many times we fail to see the fact that God is willing and able to do the same thing for us today? Oh, granted, we don't live in a situation in our society today where we have to worry about those things from the standpoint of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. But how many times do we find ourselves as members of the body of Christ in situations where individuals are faced with temptation, they're faced with trial, and the first words out of their mouth when they've had to deal with those things is, "I had no choice." You always have a choice. You can either turn to the route that says, "I'm going to rely on myself for all things," or you can turn to the place of refuge, to the place of safety. And say, "You know what? I don't know how to handle these things. I don't know how to deal with these things. The only thing I know to do is to do what is right and let God help me and cry to Him for protection." Isn't that exactly what Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? You come to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and you have a time in which King Jehoshaphat is faced with an overwhelming force that has come against the children of Judah. And he gathers together all of the people, him being one of the few righteous kings of the children of Judah over the course of their time. And he calls together the people and he calls upon them to call out, to cry out to God for His help and His protection. And as Jehoshaphat leads the people in prayer to God, notice what he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and in verse 12. He says, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them?" Now notice the three things that he says. He says, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us." We don't have the strength to fight them. We don't have the ability to take them on by ourselves. It's just not physically possible. Neither know we what to do. Now I want you to think about the humility that that required for a king of a nation to stand before God and say, "I don't know. I don't have the answers. I don't know what to do to win this battle. I don't know what to do to survive to see tomorrow." But our eyes are upon Thee. Our eyes are upon Thee. God will respond to Jehoshaphat in his prayer as you go down and you read through chapter 20 and into chapter 21. He will bestow to Jehoshaphat the means by which He will answer Jehoshaphat's prayer, and Israel will be delivered. If we are going to understand it, if we are going to take advantage of the protection that God provides, sometimes it requires us in those times of trouble and in those times of struggle for us to simply be honest and humble before God. And to be willing to say, "You know what? I'm outnumbered. I'm outbrained. I don't know what to do. But God, I need Your help. And I leave it in Your hands. I've done all I know to do. I've taken care of it the best way that I know how. But I need Your help." God's refuge provides protection. Paul would make the statement in Romans chapter 8. And in verse number 31, as he is there declaring the differences between the spirit and the flesh. He makes the statement, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Not a matter of whether or not anyone will be against us, but who can stand, who can be victorious over us? Because if we have our safety, our refuge in God, we will always have protection. Thirdly and finally, you come to verses 8 through 11 in Psalm 46. And you see that God's refuge provides confidence and that it provides protection. But then you come to verses 8 through 11 and you find that God's refuge is complete. There is nothing lacking in the protection and in the security and the safety that God provides. Notice what's said in verses 8 and 9. He says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, He cutteth the spear in sunder, He burneth the chariot in the fire." Look at the power and the ability of God, the psalmist says. He has the ability to make wars to cease to the end of the earth. Now, the statement here that's being made isn't necessarily saying that He is going to cause or that He will cause all wars to cease across the earth. But literally the statement is that there is no point on earth that He can't touch. There is no war that is going on that He can't stop. Doesn't matter where it is. There is no battle being waged, physical or spiritual, that God's hand cannot come to our aid. We recognize from verse 9 that the physical weapons of this world mean nothing to God. But we also recognize that spiritually speaking, yes, we may face the bows, the spears, and the chariots of Satan even today. We may face, and we do face, the enemy round about us. And yet God's refuge is complete, whether it be physical or spiritual. When we behold the works of God, it should inspire awe and fear, reverential fear, who God is and of what He does. When you turn over to Romans chapter 11, in Romans chapter 11 and in verse number 22, there Paul says, "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if you continue in His goodness." You turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, and there the writer of that book in verses 28 and 29 will make the statement concerning our attitude and our perception of God and of His works. He says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." We have with our God, with our refuge, with our safety, with our protection, a refuge that is complete. It has no weaknesses. It lacks nothing. And yet how many times do people look around and they say, "Well, I don't know what God could possibly do with this. I don't know what it is that God could possibly do to help me in this particular situation. There's nothing that anyone can do." I find verses 10 and 11 to be some of the most interesting verses in this chapter, and I'll be honest, with some of my favorite verses in the whole book of Psalms. Because when you understand this, idea of God being our refuge. And then you come to verse 10 and you consider an individual who is surrounded with the struggles. They are overwhelmed with the trials. They are struggling with the temptations of this life, and they don't know what to do. And oftentimes when we're in trouble and when things are going on around us, what's our first reaction? We try to keep ourselves busy. We try to constantly be doing something so that we don't have to stop and think about what's going on around us. We absorb ourselves in whatever mindless activity, whatever thing it is that's going to keep us from worrying about and from thinking about the things that are troubling us. And yet, what is it that the psalmist says we need to do? Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. When problems come in life, when the storms of this life and the storms of this world begin battering around us, instead of going faster and faster, trying to ignore it, stop! Be still. And know. The word there, know, isn't the intellectual know from the standpoint of admitting that it is such. But in this instance, it's being used to mean recognize who I am. Acknowledge who you have on your side. When things begin to go badly, don't turn away from God. Don't start putting everything on yourself. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts might be with us. Is that what he says in verse 11? The Lord of hosts is sometimes with us when it is convenient to His purposes. Oh. Be still and know that I am God. Why? The Lord of hosts is with us. We spend too much time, even as members of the body of Christ, fighting through the problems of this life as though we have to do it alone. That's a failure on our part. And I don't believe, and I may be wrong, I may be the only one who's had to deal with this. I may be. I don't think so. I don't believe there's a one of us gathered here this morning that at some point in our lives has not tried to do it on our own instead of looking for help to the one who can provide it fully and completely through His Word, through His providence, through His refuge. God's kingdom is protected just as much today by Him as it was in the days of the children of Israel. God cares about His people. You know, when we talk about 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, and we talk about the fact that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, we also need to remember the first part of that verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. When God makes a promise, does He keep it? When God makes a promise, does He mean it? Then how should we approach God when He says, when you get in trouble, you look to me and I'll take care of you? If God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, where do we go? Living below in this old simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation sore, where could I go but to the Lord? God is our refuge. As members of the body of Christ, we must always be mindful of the place that we can go. The one place that we can turn to where we will never be failed. We will never be left without protection and safety. We will never be left without help and without strength if we put our confidence in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, you can't claim God as your refuge, because you have not linked yourself to Him through obedience to the gospel. Will you do it today? By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ before men, and to be immersed in water to have your sins washed away. To begin to be able to claim God as your refuge. Maybe you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, but you've decided that you have to take care and you have to deal with everything in life by yourself. You have looked to yourself in life instead of looking to God. Will you change your focus? Will you change your direction? If we can assist you in any way at this time, would you please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?